I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, I'm proud and gold in turn.
Thank you so much, and so glad to have each and every one of you who are here with us in person. Glad to have those who are on our social media platforms. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things, comment especially. That helps to get the word out. Thank you for those who are listening on our phone live streaming also. If you need somebody, need to give that number to somebody who doesn't have the internet, it's a great resource. It's a toll-free call. It goes out live just like our broadcasts do on the internet. See us after church. We'll be glad to give that number to you. Call the church office at the number you see on the screen, and we'll be glad to share that with you. If you do have access, though, to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download today's worship bulletin. These are at the doors as you came in. The ushers will be glad to give you one of these, so be sure to ask them as you're going through. We've got children's worship bulletins, one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. They're over here in the windowsill to my right. Be sure to get those. We have children's church that'll be dismissing a little while later, but you can also download those underneath the info tab, as well as the prayer list that's there under that info tab. So those are out here on the table across from the office in the display rack there. If you're a guest that's here with us this morning, we've got a few guest bags that are still left around, one over on this side of the stage, some at that door and some at this door. If you want to grab one of those this morning, it's got some information about our church that we want to give to you. It's also got some gifts that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. Especially there's a guest card that's in there we'd like you to fill out. You can either fill it out on paper there, or there's a QR code on it that you can scan. You'll find some of those in the pew racks in front of you also that you can do too. And you can just place that in an offering plate, or if you do that online, it'll automatically come to us. So just want to welcome everybody this morning. If you do have a guest, make sure that you get one of those for them. So Brother Mike, you'll come.
Good morning, all. I know you just sat down, and I know I say it all the time, but if you can and would you stand with us as we sing hymn 416, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. It's Pat. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be whole. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Amen. Our missionary of the moment this week highlights Jordan and Jessamy Adams, who are serving in West Lafayette, Indiana. So I want to encourage you to take the time to read their story that's in your bulletin. We also have a prayer request underneath that from our missionaries in Moldova. We have some of those cards still available in the windowsill over here. Encourage you to pick those up and be reminded to be praying for them. But we are emphasizing this month and into next month our North American Missions offering for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal is $7,000. We far exceeded our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and so we praise the Lord for that. Help us to exceed this one as this goes to support those missionaries in North America. And so we want to share another one of our missionary stories with you this morning, so prayerfully watch this video.
Richmond has always had a high rate of drug abuse. And most of my adult life, I spent every waking moment seeking the next fix. And a couple blocks up is really where my heroin addiction took off. Because this is where all the drug activity was, on this street right here. I got incarcerated and man came in, preached the gospel, and something was rearranged inside of me. And so when I got out, a lot of these folks know me, still know me from the street. And I was like, I want to tell them about Jesus. I cried because it was so simple. It was just a desire to reach people. And that's kind of how it all started. My wife and I started The Fix. We got 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. It was a gift to the ministry. And we bring men and women, and we spend the better part of a year with them, walking with them through their recovery.
Fred started preaching on Saturday nights for the students' families to come. And then we noticed that people in the community were just coming. They see Pastor Fred up there with his tattoos, and they're like, that dude gets me.
I think really that's where the heart to plant the church came from, because ultimately Jesus is the fix. That was true in my life, and I've seen it true in so many other people's lives. So from where I was to where I'm at now, you know, we started with absolutely nothing, and now we're here. Just more than we could ever imagine.
And if you want to read more about The Fix, as well as Fred and Casey Weymouth, you'll find their story on day two in your prayer guide. So I encourage you to take the time to read through that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for all of our missions efforts and our missions offerings. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that we could be forgiven, that we could come before your throne of grace this morning. We come asking you to forgive us of our sins, to hear, Lord, our prayers as we repent of those things, as we turn away from them and turn to follow you. Father, I pray that your Spirit will stir our hearts this morning, Lord, knowing that every time we give of our tithes and our offerings every Sunday, a portion goes to support those missionaries, but these special offerings go 100% to the mission field. And so, Father, I pray that you would lay upon our hearts what to give towards the Annie Armstrong Easter offering to support those North American missionaries. And Father, we just pray for your blessings upon Casey and his wife. And Lord, just pray that you'll just have your hands upon them. Lord, that you'll just move in their hearts and in their lives in a special way. Bless the ministry of The Fix there. And we just pray, God, for your will to be done. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done and for the blessings you've given us. Help us through those blessings to be a blessing to the nations of the world. So thank you this morning that we can come to worship you, and we pray, Lord, that whatever cares or distractions or maybe even burdens that we've come, Lord, may we come this morning and lay those at the foot of the cross, and may we take your burdens upon us, Lord, your yoke upon us, for your yoke, Lord, is easy and your burdens are light. So Father, I pray that you will help us to follow you more faithfully, one day at a time, one moment at a time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let me just encourage you too, if you sitting there in your pews, you'll notice your offering envelopes are there in the pews. Your special love offering envelopes are around also, so at the doors and at the windowsills up here. Be sure to grab one of those. You can go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. You go to the far right hand side, click the Give Online tab, and you can do your online giving there. You can designate how you want to do that also, so be sure to take the time to do that. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app, the Bible reading plan that we have on that. You can scan the QR code that you see on the screen, and it'll take you there. You can find it in any one of the platform stores, the Google Play Store, the Apple Store. Once you download the app, you tap Discover, you search for our church, and you set our church as your church. The featured Bible plan is the one Hoosier One 40-day devotional. You can begin that anytime. You don't have to have started it at the beginning of March. We just want to encourage you to start it as soon as possible, so you'll be finished by the beginning of May as we start our next one at the beginning of May. So just wanted to remind you of that again. Don't forget the Women's Night of Worship that's coming up. That's coming up on April the 11th. There's going to be a dinner at 5 o'clock, worship at 6. All of this is going to take place at Trinity Baptist over in Manchester. Jeannie Davis, who is the wife of our Executive Director Treasurer for the State Convention, is going to be our speaker there. You're going to receive a wonderful, wonderful blessing from that. It's already expected to be packed house, so you'll want to get your reservation in as soon as possible. You can do that by scanning that QR code or by RSVPing to the website address that you see on that image. If you need a closer picture of that, we have some flyers that are down here at the front. It is also on our Facebook page. You can see it there also, and or you can just call the church office or the association office, and we'll get you plugged into that. And don't forget our special prayer ministry that we're doing called Bless. It's blessing every home in your community. If you've not signed up for that yet, I encourage you to do that. Leading people to Christ begins with prayer. I don't win anybody to Christ. You don't win anybody to Christ. The Holy Spirit works in their hearts to bring them to faith in Christ. But it begins for us in our part in praying for our neighbors. So that's what this ministry is all about. It'll send you five people who are your closest neighbors, and it'll keep sending you different ones to cover your whole neighborhood, your community. As long as you continue to do that, it will send them to you once a week, once a month, however you want to set that up. But you can begin with prayer there, and then looking for those opportunities as maybe you walk and pray around your neighborhood, to listen, to talk with your neighbors, to invite them to eat. Let me just encourage you, we do have our Wednesday night meals that you can invite them to come to eat at, but we won't be having that this Wednesday night because this is spring break, and so we won't be having Awana this week or our meal. But encourage you to take the next week and a half to invite friends to come to that Wednesday night meal. It's a great opportunity. It's free. Just encourage you to do that. Not only do you get the opportunity to talk with them, we also and friends here at church would be able to do that. So that's a part of what this ministry is about. You can sign, scan that QR code, sign up. If you go to our church website, you'll see the tally total of how many have signed up, as well as how many we're reaching there. This was the Wednesday night total that we had. So just encourage you to continue reaching out, continue praying for your friends as we be a blessing to our neighbors. So, Brother Mike.
This next hymn, hymn 135, Nothing But the Blood, is kind of special for me. 12-year-old singing with my guitar for the first time in a youth revival. This is the song that I sang. So if you would join me in the choir as we sing hymn 135. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you. That little pause at the end of that song is just a holdover from previous leaders and song leaders in the past, and it's just the way I grew up singing it. It's not written that way, but that's just the way, that's the way we do it, isn't it? Yeah. Children's Church will be gathering over here on this side, and Trey has already begun. So if you would now please stand with us and turn to hymn 138, and let's sing at Calvary. Good morning. Years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I'm given to Jesus everything, now I gladly owe him as my King. Now my rapture soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Take your Bibles and go ahead and be turning to Romans chapter 4. I did fail to mention one other thing earlier in my announcement time there, is that this month we have five Sundays, and when we have five Sundays, we have a fifth Sunday sing and dinner, unless it falls on one of those holidays like Christmas time or something like that. But we do have a fifth Sunday this month, and so we're going to be asking you to bring some sides to go with that. I think I know what the consensus is on the meat, but I didn't want to say anything until I knew 100% for sure. But we'll be letting you know that on our social media platform, but that's going to be in a couple of weeks from now, so just want to encourage you to be planning for that, to bring bring your sides to go with the meat. So be thinking about that, and we'll share what that is with you. Maybe we'll share that tonight when I know 100% for sure that's what they decided. All right, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6 through verse 8, I've entitled this message, When Sin doesn't count. And you're thinking, preacher, you've lost it. Sin always counts, doesn't it? And it does. It just doesn't count to us at certain situations, certain times, certain occasions, as we're going to see in this verse here, in these three verses in verse 6, 7, and 8. So let's stand as we read God's word in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that you will use it as you have been through this study in the book of Romans to continue laying a foundation and growing us in the faith. Lord, helping to transform our faith with the renewing of our minds by the power of the word of God. So, Lord, we pray your blessings upon this word this morning. We pray for you to stir the hearts of those who may not know Christ, but especially to stir believers, Lord, that we would have a firmer confidence in our faith with you. And Father, I pray that we'll understand better about sin in our lives and forgiveness itself. Lord, that we would not live under the chains of sin anymore, but Lord, we would live in the freedom of Christ that we have. And Father, we just pray that you would bless us for the days ahead, walking closer with you, deeper with you in our walk with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And you be seated. If you were to ask 100 people what they want most out of life, you would hear many different answers. Some would say they want success. Others would say that they want security or good health or happiness. But behind all those answers is the same desire. We all desire to be blessed. Everyone longs for a life that feels secure, a life that feels meaningful, a life that is joyful, and we long for a life where things are right and the future is not uncertain. The problem is that most people misunderstand where true blessing comes from. Many believe that it's found in favorable circumstances that are going on in your life, or financial prosperity, or that it's found in good health or personal success. The Bible, however, gives us a very different picture of blessing. As we continue moving section by section through the book of Romans, it's important for us to remember, what is Paul doing in this letter? To be reminded of that foundation he's already laid for us in chapters 1, 2, and 3. He is unfolding for us the beauty and the power of the gospel in Romans. Every chapter, every paragraph, every argument that he is putting forth is a part of that unfolding. Now, remember what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. And that good news is meant to lift the burden of guilt and to bring a deep and lasting joy and to give strength to those who trust in Jesus Christ. And that truth connects directly to the word that Paul has given to us here in these three verses, in verse 6, 7, and 8, and especially that word that we see that is given to us there in some form or another in those three verses, the word blessing or blessed. The Greek word there, translated blessed, is the word makarios. It describes a condition of deep security and contentment in God. And so to be blessed in the biblical sense means that everything between you and God is right. It means that you're secure in His grace and that you're able to rest in the knowledge that if you have trusted by faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross and His resurrection, that your standing before God is settled. Now, according to Scripture, a current person can be blessed even while you're going through hardships, even while you're in the midst of suffering. And the reason for that is because biblical blessing is not primarily about what's happening around you or to you, but about what's happening between you and God. And one of the heaviest burdens that a person can carry is guilt, especially the guilt of your sin. Deep down, every human being senses that something is wrong between us and God. Now, we may try to ignore that. We may try to deny that. We may try to cover that up, to press it down, to not deal with it in our lives. But as we see here, there is an awareness in our hearts that never disappears. Never disappears. Scripture tells us why. It's because we're created, all of us are created, every person on this planet is created for fellowship with God. But there's a problem. Sin has separated us from God. Sin has broken that relationship. And because of that, the greatest need in every human life is not happiness. It's not success. It's not moral improvement. Our greatest need is to be made right with God. And that's exactly what the gospel is showing us here. The good news of the gospel is that God has provided a way through Jesus Christ for us as sinners to be forgiven and also to be declared righteous in his sight. That's the word we were looking at, that long word called justification a few weeks ago. And when that happens, the Bible says that a person is truly blessed when you trust by faith in Jesus for your salvation. Now, that word blessed is a very familiar word to us in the Bible, yet one of the most misunderstood, because people often use it to describe a good day or a successful career or a comfortable life. But when the Bible speaks about blessing, remember, it describes the kind of blessing that doesn't depend on you having a good day. It doesn't depend on favorable circumstances in your life. In fact, according to the scriptures, a person, as we said there, can be blessed even in the midst of suffering and hardship. So Jesus himself said this over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12. He said, Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So he tells us there that you can be blessed even in the midst of reviling and persecuting and all kinds of evil. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So know that his words, Jesus' words, make it clear that biblical blessing is not the same as comfort. Biblical blessing is not the same as prosperity or ease. Being blessed doesn't mean that your life will be free from trouble. It means that even in the midst of trouble, as a believer, you can know that your relationship with God is secure. So when he speaks about blessedness in the book of Romans, he's describing that deep spiritual security, as we've already said, that comes from being right with God. And so that blessing, that's the blessing that the gospel brings. Your relationship with God is right. You could summarize that blessing with this simple phrase that we see from these three verses: when sin doesn't count. And that's the good news Paul is going to explain to us here. The good news is that through faith in Jesus Christ, there comes a moment when God no longer counts our sin against us. Now, Paul's going to address that even further as we go into the passages here in Romans, because some would bring up the argument that Paul wants to address. So then that means that I can just keep on sinning then, doesn't it? I can just keep going on sinning. And he says, heaven forbid, no, that's not what you should continue doing. Just because you can be forgiven of your sin. And so we're going to see that as we get further here. So understand here that in these verses, and in particular in chapter 4, Paul is not just presenting here some theological arguments here, which he is. He's proclaiming good news that lifts the burden, gives joy, and strengthens us as believers. So Romans reveals the message that produces a true blessedness that is content in God. So what is this good news? I want you to see some of those things before we start getting deeper into these three verses here. I want you to see, first of all, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Romans, I want you to see the good news of God's righteousness. The good news of God's righteousness. Paul's already laid this out for us in previous verses. Paul summarizes the heart of this message in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17, which, if you will, stands kind of like a banner over the entire book. He writes in those two verses, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So understand that the gospel is not just some good self-help advice. It's not just some moral instruction. It is the power of God that brings salvation to those who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But salvation from what? Well, that's what Paul begins explaining in those opening chapters of Romans that we've already looked at. That humanity needs salvation because we stand guilty before a holy God. And our sin has dishonored his glory. And justice demands that our sin be judged. Left to ourselves, we would stand condemned. And yet the gospel goes on to say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the very next verse, and explains why the gospel has saving power. It says, "For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." In other words, the gospel reveals how we as sinners can receive the righteousness that God requires. And that's the greatest problem of humanity. God's righteousness, God requires righteousness, but we don't possess it. No amount of good works, no amount of good deeds, no amount of righteous things in your life could ever earn your salvation. What we possess is sin. All of your works, the Bible tells us, are as filthy rags, are sinful things. And so there's the profound dilemma. God has what we desperately need, which is perfect righteousness, and we possess what separates us from him, sin. And so the answer to that dilemma is Jesus Christ, is the gospel. And so that's why we see here, first of all, that we see the good news of God's righteousness. Secondly, we see the good news of Christ's righteousness. Because God's solution was not to say, "Well, you know what? I'll just lower the standards down here. Maybe you can meet those standards. You don't have to put me first. We'll take that one out of the Ten Commandments." He didn't lower the standards. Neither does he overlook our sin. Sometimes we live as if he is overlooking our sins. But instead, what he did is he provided a Savior. He provided Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world and lived a perfect, sinless life that we could never live. And then he died the death that you and I deserve to die. On that cross. And at the cross, something remarkable happened. God took my sins and your sins and placed them on Jesus. And he judged your sins there. At the same time, Jesus's perfect righteousness was credited to those who believe in him. So that's how you don't earn your salvation. You don't earn righteousness. It's given to you as a free gift by what Christ has done for us. And so that's what theologians often call the great exchange. Our sin placed on Jesus and his righteousness placed on us. Scripture repeatedly emphasizes that truth over and over. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, you read, "For our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul says that the believer is found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own. In other words, I don't have a righteousness of my own. You don't have a righteousness of your own. We don't have a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. And the result of that exchange, my sin for his righteousness is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that we're eventually going to get to, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus is at the center of the gospel. You're not at the center of the gospel. Jesus is at the center of the gospel. Everything about our justification, what did we say justification means? In the simplest kind of terms that we could put it at, is I am made just as if I had never sinned. The righteousness I receive and my righteousness is as filthy rags, but his righteousness is not. Our righteousness isn't something we produce in salvation. It is totally dependent upon him. Everything about our justification rests entirely on Jesus. It's something we receive through that relationship when you, by faith, trust in him as your Lord and Savior. So to be in Jesus is to share in the righteousness that God himself provided for you. And then we come to see, as we looked at last time in the beginning of chapter 4, the good news of justification by faith alone. Not by your works, but by faith alone. So chapter 4, verse 5 said, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him," believes in Jesus, "who justifies the ungodly, his faith," your faith, when you believe in what Jesus did for you on the cross and his resurrection, your faith, what does it say? Is counted as righteousness. So that brings us to the focus here of Romans chapter 4. That Paul is celebrating here the truth that this righteousness is not received, or is received, not through works, but through faith alone. He demonstrates that by pointing to two figures in the Old Testament. The first one we looked at the last time a couple of weeks ago, and that is Abraham. The second one is David, that we're going to look at this morning. Both of them testify that a person is declared righteous not because of what they have done. Because remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that if there was anybody in the Old Testament that you could have maybe looked at to say, well, his good deeds, his righteousness should have surely counted for something, would have been Abraham. But we found out that Paul tells us there, none. His works are as nothing. And so, the emphasis of that verse comes in verse 5 there, as both are testifying that a person is declared righteous not because of what they've done, but because they trust in God. You can go over to Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith passage that we're studying on Sunday nights, and you can see there that they are listed there in that great hall of faith, and over it says of each one of those, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, not by works. It doesn't say not by your good deeds. It says by faith over and over. And so what the emphasis of this verse in verse 5 in chapter 4 is showing us is that God justifies the ungodly. That means justification occurs before you have ever performed any good work that could earn God's favor. Do you get that? When you come to that place and you confess your sin and you trust by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He doesn't wait until you start doing some good deeds to say, okay, I get it. They're truly saved. They're truly righteous. Because it's not based on your works. Understand this. We've said this over and over and over. Works do follow genuine faith. But they are not the basis of our acceptance with God. I've said that phrase over and over. My granddaughter listens every Sunday and is stuck in her head over and over. Our works are not the root, they are the fruit. They are the fruit. So get that, understand that truth. They're good works are the fruit of faith. They are not the cause of our faith. They are not the cause of justification, because faith alone unites us to Jesus Christ. It's through that relationship that we receive His righteousness that He accomplished in that perfect sinless life that He lived, and His gift that He gives us for paying for our sins on the cross. So that leads us now to these three verses. And we see the good news of sin not credited to us, or when sin doesn't count. You see that in verse 6 down through verse 8 here. Because in these verses, especially two of these verses, Paul quotes Psalm 32, verse 1 and verse 2. I want you to notice those verses as you see them there on the screen. Blessed is the one whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David here is speaking of the blessing of the person whose sins are forgiven, whose guilt is removed. And Paul quotes that to further explain the truth that he's laying out for us in these three verses, 6, 7, and 8. He connects the forgiveness with the crediting of righteousness. And so in these three verses, Paul gives us, in these verses that we're looking at today, the second Old Testament witness to support his teaching about justification by faith, because he's already pointed, as we said, to Abraham. Now he points to David. And he shows that this truth runs throughout the Old Testament, from the patriarchs all the way to the kings and beyond. And so when Paul quotes Psalm 32, where David writes what we read in verse 6 and verse 8, through verse 8 of what he says, especially verse 7 and verse 8, where Paul quotes it, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. The word translated there, count, comes from the language of accounting, and means to credit or to calculate. To place something on someone's account. And Paul has already used that word repeatedly in Romans chapter 4 to explain how righteousness is credited to us when we trust in Jesus through faith. That's an important point, because justification includes both aspects. God's righteousness to us, and he doesn't credit or count our sin against us. Our sin is removed, and Christ's righteousness is granted. Both of those things are necessary, because we need to be freed from the guilt of sin, and we must have the righteousness that God requires. And both of those blessings come separate from any good works that you might ever do. Forgiveness is not earned. It's not earned through good deeds, And righteousness is not achieved through you doing good moral things. Both are received through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so here David is emphasizing the other side of that same reality, that the blessed person is the one whose sin is not counted to his account. So when somebody trusts in Jesus, God doesn't record your sins against you. The debt is not placed on your ledger. David knew the weight of that truth personally. Because if you look at Psalm 32, what did he write Psalm 32 about? He was writing Psalm 32 about one of the darkest seasons of his life, about his sin with Bathsheba and the death of Uriah. He knew what it meant to live under the crushing burden of sin, of the heavy hand of conviction. But he also knew the freedom that came when he confessed that sin and experienced God's forgiveness. That's why he speaks here of being blessed, because he understood what that meant. The greatest blessing that we can receive is the joy of knowing that God has removed the guilt of your sin and will not hold your sin to your account. That is the good news that Paul wants us to see. The gospel addresses our deepest need, our sin before a holy God. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that God forgives our sins. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that he covers our guilt. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that he refuses to count our sin against us. Do you deserve to have your sin count against you? Yes. I deserve to have my sin count against me. But Jesus took the punishment, the weight of my sin. The Bible tells us, and we're going to look at it even more, that the wages of sin is death. You either had to pay the penalty for that sin or somebody else did. And so God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And that truth leads to an even greater wonder, because not only are our sins no longer counted against us, but the very righteousness that we could never live of Jesus Christ is counted for us. I could never, ever, and you could never, ever do or live up to the standards of what Jesus did in this life. But he did it in your place to give you his righteousness. So notice the blessing of the gospel. We return to that word that began this discussion, the word blessed there. Blessed is the person whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord doesn't count against him. Blessed is the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. That blessing is that deep security that comes not from your works, because if you think about it, your works are good some days and bad some days. And so some days you'd feel like I'm doing right with the Lord, and other times I'm not. Sometimes I'm right with him, sometimes I'm not. It's not based on me. It's based on Jesus and what he did. And so my standing before him can be right, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of struggles, even when I stumble, even when I fall. And so that blessing there is the joy of realizing that my acceptance, your acceptance before God, does not depend on our performance, but it depends on Christ's finished work at the cross. When Jesus said, hanging on that cross, "It is finished," he meant it. Everything was finished that needed to be done. He did it all. He finished the work. And that truth ought to strengthen our lives as believers. The gospel is not just theological information. It is a source of spiritual stability. As Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 reminds us, that he said to them, "And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When we understand that our righteousness is secure through Jesus Christ, you can begin to gain a joy that sustains you even in the midst of life's trials. And our world is full of trials. Our world is full of illness and loss and uncertainty and countless burdens that weigh down our hearts. And yet as believers, we possess something stronger than those circumstances you have all around you. We have the assurance that our sins have been forgiven and that we stand clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel truly is good news. Because it lifts that burden of guilt and it fills your heart and it transforms you from the inside out, not making you conform from the outside in. That's not transformation. Transformation by faith comes from the inside out. It gives you strength for whatever trials may come. And so this blessing belongs to every person who will turn from your own efforts and place your trust entirely in Jesus. So as we come to the close, when Paul quotes David, he's pointing us to one of the greatest blessings you could ever experience. David had known that crushing weight of guilt. David had lived through the misery of hidden sin. You may be here this morning and there's hidden sin in your heart, in your life. David lived through that. David lived through the heaviness of God's conviction. And he came to that place of repentance. And when he did, he experienced the joy of forgiveness. That's why he could say, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin." I deserve to have my sins counted, but God doesn't count it. Because when he looks at me and he looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ, he sees Jesus. He sees his righteousness, not mine. The greatest blessing is to know that your sins are forgiven, that your guilt is removed, so that when God looks at your life, he doesn't count your sin against you. The gospel tells us, though, something even more remarkable, that when sin is no longer counted against us, what I don't deserve is that Jesus Christ's righteousness is counted and placed on my account. Our debt for our sin, the wages of sin is death. Our debt is removed. And Christ's righteousness is placed on our account. That's the blessing that Paul is describing here. And that's the freedom that David celebrated. And that's the hope that is offered to every person who trusts by faith in Jesus. The gospel is the good news of when sin doesn't count because through Christ the debt was paid. The record has been cleared. As a believer, you will stand forever accepted before God. And one of the reasons Paul spends so much time explaining justification in Romans is because this truth gives us as believers strength for life. As we said, this world is full of heartbreak and uncertainty and suffering. Circumstances change, health fails, plans collapse, and sometimes the weight of life just feels overwhelming. But when we as believers have that foundation of in Christ's righteousness, not my own, then that foundation cannot be shaken. If our righteousness depended on our own efforts, you would always live in a constant fear of failure. But because our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ, our standing with God is secure. That's why the gospel gives both joy and strength. When we know that our sins are forgiven and we know that Christ's righteousness has been credited to us, that changes everything about how you live. Because our hope is not based in circumstances. You know, your circumstances are going to change tomorrow when you wake up. But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's always going to stay the same. If you truly have trusted by faith in Christ. That's the blessing of the gospel. That's when sin is not counted to us, but it was counted to him who knew no sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the hope of the gospel. Father, thank you that you have not left us to carry the burden of our guilt. Lord, that we don't have to keep walking and living through life with that guilt anymore, or to try to make ourselves right with you, because we never could. Lord, thank you that through Jesus Christ, you have provided a way for our sins to be forgiven, for our lives to be made right before you. So, Father, we praise you. We praise you for the incredible grace that you have shown to us. That when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, you no longer count our sin against us. Instead, you forgive us. You cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And you place the righteousness of your Son, Jesus, on our account. Lord, thank you for that amazing gift of mercy and love. And so, Lord, we pray for every person hearing this message this morning. Lord, if there's anyone who's here this morning who's still carrying the weight of the guilt of their sin, they've never trusted in Christ for forgiveness, Lord, I pray that they would turn to you in faith this morning. And Lord, they would begin to experience the freedom of knowing that their sins are forgiven. And that's the only way that can happen, by faith in Christ alone. And so, Father, I pray for every one of those. I pray that they would turn to you and seek that forgiveness. But Lord, there are many of us who are here this morning. We already know you. Lord, help us to never take this grace for granted. Lord, teach us to always live with grateful hearts. Lord, to live confident in the security that we have in Christ, but also, Father, to realize that we have a great responsibility to be being transformed from the inside out and to not go back to the shackles of sin again and the guilt of that sin again, but to bring it and lay it at the cross. Father, thank you that because of Jesus, there comes a moment when sin no longer counts against us. So help us, Lord, as believers, to walk in joy and peace and the assurance of that truth every day. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can be blessed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We want to invite you to come this morning during this time of invitation. As the Lord speaks to your heart, if you're lost, you need to come and receive Christ. If you're saved and you just want to come and pray at this altar, maybe the Lord's been working in your heart to come and join this fellowship of believers. As we stand, as we sing, would you make your way and come this morning? Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee,
okay. Is it from a Baptist church?
Yes.
Grace Baptist. Okay, tell me your name again.
Jean Seagrace.
Jean Seagrace. Okay. Well, let me just have a word of prayer with you.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood as I am, well, poor, wretched, blind. sight rich is healing of the mind. Fill your line here.
Go ahead and come on up here, Miss Wanda. We'll just take you right here. You won't have to come over to the middle. Oh, okay. That's okay. This is Miss Jean C. Graves. She's been coming for a little while. This is Miss Wanda Mueller's mom, and she wants to come this morning to join our fellowship, transferring her membership from a sister church in our area, Baptist Church. What is your favor in receiving her into the fellowship of this church this morning? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're so excited for you, Miss Jean, and we're going to be praying for you.
It's a lovely church.
Thank you.
And I enjoy our Sunday school class.
Amen. Amen. What a great class that is, too. That's a growing, fast-growing class there. Y'all can have a seat there for just a moment. At the very end, we'll have you come back up for people to shake your hand and welcome you to the fellowship. But Stephen, if you'll go ahead.
Good morning. In a couple of weeks, the church has its annual Easter egg hunt for the kids coming up. It's going to be on Saturday, March 28th from 1 to 3. We have about 3,500 eggs. This is for kids birth through fifth grade. So if you have a child in that age group or a friend or a neighbor, please invite them. We will have food and crafts and activities. We have a special treat this year. The Dorals will be doing a presentation. If you don't have a kid, or you do have a kid and you would like to be involved, we have a place for you. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside the pastor's office, and there's lots of things that need to be done for that. So I appreciate you prayerfully considering that as well. Thank you.
Just have a couple announcements. Suzanne Barton, she is home. What's that? Oh, you got one? Well, come on. You sure? No, come on.
Thanks, Papa.
She's not.
Hey, real quick, if you would be praying for Tim Forsythe. He is a youth pastor at Trinity Baptist Church. His cancer returned for a third time. And so he's got four kids, and they're trying to get him to where he can be able to have treatment. But if you would like to help the family out in any way, one thing that we can do is Walmart gift cards or gas cards, as they have to travel back and forth from Vanderbilt. So if you would, if you want to give in that way, let me know, and we'll make sure we get all those things to the family. And just continue to be praying for them as they go through this season in life. Thank you.
Correction, Suzanne Barton is not home, but she is out of the hospital. She's in Lynchburg doing rehab. The family has asked no visitors at this time, and we'll let you know further updates for that. Tommy Griffin is home. Medicine, everything kicked in. He's doing well there. If there's no other announcements, we'll close this out in prayer. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again, thank you for Jesus and taking away the sins for us. We do not deserve that. As Pastor Jim said, we deserve, death. But thank you again, God, for taking those sins away from us. Forgive us where we fail you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I have to stand the whole time.